our problem today, and historically, the problem is we get too far away from God. Now, how do you draw near to God? Read verse 8 again. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. How do you draw near to God? Well, here's what he says. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. How do you draw near to God? You confess your sin. Confess your sin, ask for cleansing. God draws near when we deal with the sin in our lives. God draws near when we deal with sin in our lives. I don't care how spiritual you are tonight. You decide you want to have fellowship with God, you can have it tonight. But God will keep his distance if there's unconfessed sin and sin you're unwilling to part with. If there's sin you will not confess, you will not submit to Christ, then God will keep his distance. Abraham, in Genesis 18, verse 23, when the angels were going down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, it says that Abraham drew near to God. Abraham was safe, wasn't he? But we know what did Lot do? Lot went towards Sodom. Abraham drew near to God. Lot, on the other hand, went towards Sodom. So draw near to God. Confess your sins. Cleanse your sin. Verse 9. It says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Now, never treat sin lightly. Here's what it says to do with sin. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter, we take sin lightly sometimes, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. So we should mourn over our sin. I can list so many sins right now today that as Christian people, if we're not careful, we take it very lightly. We just skip over it. We see other people in that sin. We think not much of it. But we should mourn over sin, our sin and the sin of our world. We should mourn over that sin. Why? We've had any number of good evangelists walk into our church and preach here. Good men, godly men, preaching the truth. Why is it we have not had real revival in our church? Isn't that a good question? We bring in some of the best evangelists we could bring in. Men that God has used, they're preaching the truth, godly men. And yet we have not, as a church, had revival. And I would say to you, the reason is sin in believers must be dealt with. Sin in the believer's heart must be dealt with. If we have a group of people over here that are harboring unconfessed sin, jealousy or bitterness, or back here in this room of your house, you've dealt with a lot of sin in your life, maybe all your sin, but back here in this room of your house, you have pornography. And you've not dealt with the pornography. It's still in your home. It's in your mind. It's in your heart. You're unwilling to deal with that pornography. Therefore, God keeps his distance from you. You're not going to have revival as long as you do not deal with that sin. Or maybe there are closet alcoholics, closet drinkers, and no one else here knows about it. No one else knows about it, but in your home, you are an alcoholic. And you will not deal with that. You will not get it out of your life. And because you won't get it out of your life, God keeps his distance from you. You're not going to have revival. Now, if we have enough people in our church that have secret sin, that will not get their heart right with Christ, then our church will not have revival, regardless of who we bring in here. God hates sin. God hates the sin of pride. There can be outward obedience, but in our heart, there's still sin. I want to show you some verses. I want you to turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. I want to read verse 17. Psalm 51, verse 17. It says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite, a broken and a repentant heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." God is drawn to you when you have a broken spirit, a repentant heart. A broken and a repentant heart, God will not despise. When is the last time you've wept over sin? Over and over and over, the Bible says God is drawn to the person with a broken spirit. Now, I tell you, you can take a lot of what Christianity or a lot of professing Christians, they talk about the way people's hair is and the way people's dress is and all those different things, and they have their place because you know what? When your heart's right, all the exterior will be okay. But let me say this. Beyond your clothes and your hair and things like that, where's your heart tonight? Is it proud and lifted up? Because God hates pride. Is it proud and lifted up? And are these areas of sin back here? I'll tell you something that's a sin in our country today that I don't know if it's increased a lot in the last 20 or 30 years, but it seems like it has. And that is so many, many, I think, Christian people have become flat-out liars. They lie. You cannot be a continuous liar and have the blessing of God on your life. I've been amazed how many people seemingly, and I can't know for sure that I'm always right, but it seems I run into people that have a very difficult time saying the exact truth. They'll borderline it, they'll skirt around it, they'll kind of say half truth, but they can't quite get the whole truth out. Lying's a sin. God will keep his distance from us when we lie. Go back to James chapter 4. James 4 verse 10, and we're done. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." What's our tendency? Our tendency is, you know, I'm pretty smart. I have quite a bit of ability. I'm strong, and I'm a pretty good person. At least that's the way we look at ourselves. 50 years ago, I was at a little park. Today it's Marin Park. It was named after my dad. But I was at this park before my dad was killed. I was probably in the 7th or 8th grade, and I was playing basketball by myself, and I thought I was doing pretty good. 7th or 8th grader. I had played for the Marin Midgets when I was in the 5th and 6th grade. You've heard of the Marin Midgets, haven't you? My father was the coach. We were undefeated in the 5th grade and undefeated in the 6th grade. Well, I was going into the 7th grade. I was doing pretty good. And Johnny Solomon drove up in his car and got out of his car and walked out on the basketball court with me. Now, I know you don't know Johnny Solomon, but Johnny Solomon was a college basketball player. He was from my home school, and he played at my school, and then he became a college player. Well, I was 13 years old, and I was playing on the court there, and then Johnny walked out on the court. And Johnny was about 6'2", and he was an athlete, and he was a college basketball player, and he started doing everything that I was doing. I had my little routine that I was going through. He started doing what I was doing. And you know what? He was so much better than I was. There wasn't even any comparison. I thought, I'm doing pretty good here at this. But when he walked out on the floor, there was just no comparison between Johnny and Russell. None at all. Now let me say this to you. No matter how good we think we are, our goodness does not attract God to us. What does attract God to us is our great need. We are so sinful, and God recognizes how pitiful we are, that I think God is drawn to that weakness and that how pitiful we are. In verse 10 it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." I'll tell you this, I think sometimes this happens in our life. God either allows us to be humbled, or he humbles us himself so that we will give up, and finally he can take over. He can take over in our life. We get thinking we're so good, so much ability, so intelligent, I'll work this out myself. And you know what? Some things medically I can't work out at all. And I go to the doctor, and he has the anecdote. He has what's going to make it okay. Spiritually, there is no other method but submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Maybe there's an area of your life tonight. You're a pretty good Christian. You're paying your bills. You're a good American. You're a pretty good person. But let me ask you, is there an area in your life that no one else in this room knows about, that you have never surrendered to Jesus Christ? And because you won't surrender it to Jesus Christ, God keeps his distance from you. There's not going to be revival. There's not going to be a real moving of God because there's that area. Maybe it's two or three, but there's an area there you won't deal with. Are you proud before God? Think that really you're somebody? Are you willing tonight to say before God, "God, I surrender to you unconditionally. God, you can have every room in my life. I give it to you." There's not one of us here that deserves to be in heaven. Every one of us is guilty before God. Are you willing tonight to humble yourself before God and say, "God, I want to know you"? Are you willing to say, "God, I confess this specific sin to you. I confess whatever your sins are, I confess them. And God, I want you to cleanse me. I want to have a broken heart." There's no other way to do this. "I have a broken heart. I want to have a broken heart over my sin. Be afflicted and mourn and weep over your sin."